Old Smoky.
Remember that thing?
Yeah.
On top of Old Smoky, huh?
Hi, wrestling fans. From Greenville, South Carolina's Memorial Auditorium, welcome to another action-packed, exciting hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it.
Hey out there, and welcome to another episode of On Top of Old Smoky, the podcast that follows Smoky Mountain Wrestling from its humble beginnings to its eventual demise. I am your good pal, Lukey, and I'm here with the Sultan of Storytelling, the Historian of Hardway, Mr. Alex Khalil. How you doing, buddy?
Woo! It has been a wild, wild time for professional wrestling. And how are we enjoying ourselves even more? We're diving into 1992 with some Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
We are back.
Baby. Yeah, we're back. We're back. It's been a while.
Sorry for the delay. Yeah. Things have been crazy.
You know, life gets in the way. You know, we just need to find a recording day where we just film, just grind a bunch of these out at once.
Yeah, do a taping.
Yeah, do a taping. Yeah, we're going to do a TV taping.
But we've been working on some things that, you know, with the podcast and things like that. Right. So
we're expanding.
Look out for that.
Right. Broadening our horizons.
They're going to be so broad.
We're going to be so broad. But right now, our eyes are gazing toward April 4th, 1992 for an episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Episode 10, double digits now. But also on this date, we had Superstars of Wrestling from the WWF, which featured the British Bulldog taking on Scott Avery. We had Tanaka taking on Sandy Beach. What a river that name is.
Unbelievable.
And we had Jake the Snake Roberts taking on Scott Allen. This was also the build-up to WrestleMania, so I think WrestleMania is like shortly after this.
Okay. So, man, it's every week, it's just nothing.
It's
there's, there is nothing to sink your teeth into on those shows.
Meanwhile, on WCW Saturday night, these were the top three matches I saw. We had Flying Brian Pillman taking on Brad Armstrong. The Freebirds of Jimmy Garvin and Michael Hayes taking on Cactus Jack and Diamond Dallas Page. Yeah.
Wow.
And Steve Austin. He's not Stone Cold yet. I think, was he stunning at this time?
This is like pre-Blondes, isn't it?
No. This is post-Blondes because this was 92.
Yeah,
so this is Dangerous Alliance.
So yeah, he's stunning, right?
He was stunning.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. He's taking on Z-Man, Tom Zink, I believe.
Oh.
In a 2-3 falls match.
Wow. Zink.
Yeah.
This is legendary. This is legendary.
We got double Zink.
This is legendary stuff. Okay.
Zink squared.
We'll touch on that later.
But our hosts for the evening are, of course, as always, Bob Cottle and Dirty Dutch Mantel. Dutch hypes up his match with Lee and, you know, does a pretty decent job of it. He's got his wrestling trunks on. The Lordax skin is showing.
It's, yes. Yes, it is.
We go to the ring with Barry Horowitz in his suspenders. Just instant jobber look.
Yes, he used to have that nice, like, little coat that had the hand on it.
Oh, the handprint.
No, it just went straight suspenders.
And, boy, this aged well. Out comes Dixie Dynamite, which is a man wearing a mask, dressed in the Confederate flag, coming out to the shittiest music ever.
And he looks like a scrawny jobber ding-dong.
He looks like a druggie. He's so skinny.
He looks like such a hillbilly redneck.
Granny was a big fan of the Confederacy, apparently.
It's shocking stuff. Right?
Also, I noted that mask cannot hide that Kentucky waterfall. It was shiny.
Yeah, that's great. Just barreling out.
I won't reveal it yet, but this is someone of importance later on in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Okay, I think I have an idea who it is. But
you want to say it now?
I don't remember their name, so...
Okay. But anyway, the match begins. Dixie Dynamite is faster and controls early, but Barry uses his power to ground and pound him. They do a botch over, like, to the outside, basically. Like, Dynamite does like the into the corner, head scissor, and then Barry tosses him up over the rope, gets tangled up, looks like shit, and then he just pegs him to the outside. So it's like, oops. Then Barry does like the clothesline to the post, looked so staged. It was
worst, like slowest clothesline ever.
It looked so fake. Nice little crossbody by Dynamite, I'll give him that. Barry starts working over the knee of Dynamite, slow him down. Taunts Granny, and she about comes over the rail.
Oh, she was having none of it.
And then Dynamite does the one thing I hate more than anything else in wrestling. He's selling the knee like he's, you know, oh, I'm limping. Oh, I've been killed. You're like a soccer player. And then immediately just starts rallying. He's throwing shitty punches and doing a drop kick. His leg's fucking fine now. I hate that.
Yeah, right. Don't sell them.
Right. It's still a thing in modern wrestling, really badly, but in 92, it should be inexcusable, especially in a Tennessee territory.
Right, yeah, like what? I would have been ripping this guy a new one. Comes back.
Dynamite wins with the Confederate kick, which is a super kick. Just right off the bat, like instantly I'm not going to be a fan of Dynamite because fuck the Confederacy, so right there.
And also it's like, it's not cool to dress as the flag.
Apparently it was cool. Apparently it was these fucking fans because they were really into the Dixie Boy.
I mean, his whole thing was he looks like the Confederate flag and he's got babyface fire. That's it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not seeing anything in this.
This is a jobber gimmick.
And he looks like a geek.
He looks like a geek.
Yeah. And the thing is when he's in the ring with Horowitz, I feel bad for Horowitz because Horowitz was way better.
Absolutely.
Looked better. He moved better. He was crisp. He was actually like trying to tell a little bit of a story. He was the one targeting the leg. He was doing the dragging screws, the shin breaker, mm-hmm. the leg locks, you know.
Right, he was doing something. He was right. Making something out of this match. Dynamite was just working a match.
So come on, give it to Horowitz. This guy, get this joke out of here. Burn this flag.
This fucking guy's in a wild card in the Smoky Mountain title tournament.
Right, yeah, that's the thing that bothered me. It's like, mm-hmm. you brought this geek in and now I have to pretend like he's legit.
Right. Mr. Bob Armstrong's talking in the back to us about drug abuse. Drugs are bad, okay? You shouldn't do drugs.
Don't do them.
And, you know, we don't have no steroids here. Given the Dixie Dynamite last segment, yeah, we know.
Yeah, right. You could probably get some, you know.
Right, probably. but this was actually a nice little promo just talking about how, you know, kids, if you're watching, you don't need to abuse your body and, you know, do steroids. You know, you have enough of what God gave you, basically. And it's like, all right,
I appreciate that.
Bob.
Some body positivity in 1992.
Shocking, I know. We go to the ring with...
Whoa.
Okay.
That's not all. No. Okay. They don't get off that easy. Because this is something that Jim Cornette, this day and age, endlessly rants and rants and rants about how guys look. Jelly Janella or whatever his name is.
Joey Janela.
No, I mean like he
calls him Joey Nutella.
Or, yeah, whatever.
Because, you know, Jim with his... Or Jelly Nutella.
Yeah, yeah. So he's
Jim got with his fucking clever nicknames that aren't that clever. That
and it's how he talks bad about how this guy looks, how that guy looks. And on this show, Bob Armstrong says, "We don't believe that it's how a man looks that counts. It's what a man can do in the ring that counts." Okay.
Also, he says,
I like this one. If he looks like 40 miles of bad rope, we don't care. If he can wrestle, he's got a place at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. What the fuck is this?
Bob's a lot nicer than Jim, apparently. Here's the thing. I am not going to defend what Jim Cornette thinks. I'm going to say what his opinion is, but his opinion is, it's like, yes, it doesn't matter what a guy can do, but he has to look like somebody. You know, he has to look like, you know, you have to have looks that way people want to see you, blah, 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 you know. But it's like, I'm with your philosophy.
Yeah.
I'm with Bob's philosophy, where it's like, no, I don't give a shit what a guy looks like. Can he wrestle? Good. I don't care. I am a fan of professional wrestling. I'm not a fan of fucking bodybuilding. I'm not a fan of fucking looking at some muscle-bound meathead jacked-up dude. I want to see a professional wrestler. That's why my favorite professional wrestlers are Bryan Danielson, Shawn Michaels. Now, Shawn Michaels was not that ripped, but even.
He wasn't big.
No. It's like, I want professional wrestlers. So I'm with Bob in this one. And I can't believe that this day and age, Jim is basically arguing for the Sid Vicious part of the argument, which I think I've gone over this before, but it's worth repeating, where, you know, you look at Sid Vicious. You could make $1 million in one night watching him wrestle. But the problem is you're going to make that money one time because once you see him wrestle, you're never going to want to see him again. But he looks impressive and he'll get you that one show. Or you have a guy like Arn Anderson that will make you steady money for 10 years because he's a great professional wrestler and people are going to want to keep seeing him. That's my philosophy. I've always been about if you can continue to be an excellent wrestler, I don't care what you look like. Having said that, I know we just buried Dixie Dynamite, but that guy didn't fucking come across like a good wrestler in that match. Maybe he is. We'll hold judgment too much, but right now, as I'm looking at this show, he was a shitty wrestler.
Yeah, and his look is different than his body. You know, his look was shit.
Yeah,
you like dressing.
It was a bad mask with a doofy looking outfit.
Yeah, anybody who just dresses as any flag is not gonna look good.
No, it never gets over.
No.
Even in the fucking country of your origin. Hell, the Patriot didn't get fucking super over.
No, he got more over in Japan.
Right. Anyway, so there's our rant for the day.
Yeah, so that just...
No, just, I understand.
Jimerson, come on. Cut the shit.
I'm sure Jim would argue like, well, at least back in the day, they were full-grown adult men. Maybe they weren't built, but they look like men.
Either he doesn't buy what he's selling now, and he doesn't care what people look like, or... Back then, he didn't want to just admit, I can't afford the wrestlers that look good.
Yeah, no, that might be the case.
Maybe that's it.
That might be the case. We go to the ring with TJ Travis.
Talk about not being able to afford wrestlers that look good.
Pot meat kettle. Speaking of pot, look at that pot belly.
Oh,
this
man.
I'm sorry. And again, I'll get to Travis, but like his look, oof.
And it was partially his look. He looks like he's about to go, like, fly fishing or something with these boots. And he's got the, like, coveralls. It's just horrendous.
He's taking on noted pussy licker Tim Horner.
Yes, did you?
I listened to it. It's 100% going down on a woman.
Shameless by Garth Brooks.
He is shameless.
That's right. Oh, his girl, Connie Lingus.
How has that not been a wrestler somewhere? How has there not been a fiend? In all the bad wrestler promotions, there had to be. Like, ECW.
Right, that would have been perfect. Oh, God.
Very basic wrestling match to start. Tim obviously has the edge because he's the veteran. Crossbody and dropkick by Travis. Travis does a leg lock, which Horner counters after spanking him. Like, you see that? Like, and Horner's like react like selling it. He's like spanking his ass. What the fuck? You know, Timmy, we're learning more and more about your sexual preferences. You
that's
know,
fine. Whatever yeah, you want to do, but
keep it out of the wrestling ring,
just
boys.
Make sure you're asking him.
They get fancy, and Horner does a head scissor on Travis, and like it gets all kind of fumbled.
Travis
up.
Can't hold it.
No, well, Horner's a fucking huge dude.
And Travis is not an athlete.
And basically does a Canadian Destroyer. In 1992, yeah, Tim
the
Horner.
The originator.
Petey Williams was studying his Tim Horner tapes.
That's right.
Looked terrible. Like, it looked like, oh my God, he just killed this guy. And it was two. I'm like, that should have been the fucking finish.
I would have, yeah. I would have
called an audible. Because like, you're not going to beat that. And immediately, Travis just looked blown up. He was looking gassed.
Oh, man. And the thing is he cannot sell either. Like, you could, he was getting punched and kicked, and it was terrible. It was like big man stumbly sometimes, and just, he can't do it. He cannot wrestle.
No, but, not at all.
Yeah. Did you notice, during the entrance, my big boy Timmy...
Hugs Granny,
gets a kiss on the cheek.
He did. Granny loved her some Tim Horner.
That's right. I'm not as, like, sold on her approval, though, after being so hyped up for Dixie.
Well, she is an older generation, you know.
Yeah.
She's probably, like, the daughter of the Confederacy.
Yeah.
Travis fights back, but that's about it. Like, he's just very weak. Horner like, does a very clever, like, so, like, he runs the ropes, and, like, Travis goes to... leap over him, and he puts on the brakes, and, like, grabs, waist locks him, does the roll-up. It looked really good. It was a very nice finish. So Horner gets the win in there. So
had to be Horner. He wrestled circles around this.
Oh yeah, Jehoob. This was Horner having a match around Travis.
Right. And okay, get rid of this guy though.
No,
he's not valuable.
No,
in any way.
They have way better jobbers. Like, this is one of the worst ones, I think.
Agreed.
We got Bob Caudle with Tim Horner, Robert Lee. Robert Lee. Brian Lee.
We're really getting into the Confederacy
now. And then Robert Gibson.
Okay. I wrote Boomhauer just to make sure I didn't mix it up.
Tim, in his own way, hyped up his match. He tried. He really tried.
I love that he said he was actually going around. He was going on pretty good.
Yep.
And then he stumbled. And then he lost a little bit, and then at the end he's like, I got the backyard advantage. I'm like, God damn it, it's not. It's the home field. And then he's like, you're in my backyard.
Like, God. And he's like talking to Brian and Robert. He's like, you know, guys, you know, you're my friends. And this is exactly how he talked, by the way. You're my friends, and, you know, but this is business. And friendship's one thing, but this is business. It's just like, oh my God, Tim.
Like, he knows what he's trying to say.
He knows
he cannot do it.
He cannot.
In front of a camera.
No, he like a deer in headlights.
And thank God for Gibson, because he actually made a fantastic point. He actually made something. I mean, it didn't land, but he goes, belts mean money, right?
Like,
well, yeah. Goddamn, Robert, you're right.
Oh, you ever seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
I'm like John Goodman. Like, you don't say much, friend. What you do, you get right to the point, and I salute you for it. Robert, that's you.
There he is.
Okay. We come back, and we got Jim Cornette. Here we go. They air the footage. Phil's talking into the camera, and like out of the fucking corner behind the wall comes Cornette. Yes. Like, shoot down. They take him to the hotel room where they're like, you know, let's go ahead and make this way. They're training constantly, they're always working. Cornette's telling this to death, like only Cornette can. They open the door, and like the women's clothes start flying out the door, and Cornette sells like he's drowning.
And yeah, the women are screaming, get out, what are you doing here?
They still can't find decent women actors.
No, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And like one of them like comes back and grabs her shirt or whatever, and like, and then Jim, Phil, you blew it again.
Wah, wah.
I gotta admit, I was dying of laughter.
I didn't think this one was as good as the other
ones. No.
Unless you saw it coming, you know, but it was a good.
It was good. Funny. And they come back and Cornette just starts berating the audience again.
And he's screaming like, I want the National Guard as security.
This is a great one. He wants the women in the crowd next week to be wearing seat belts so they don't jump his wrestlers. I was dying of laughter. This was amazing. But next week, Jim Cornette's team will be here and they will wrestle.
Okay.
Cornette could sell the glasses on your own face. I swear, like, he's amazing.
I was actually watching this one and I was like, how did this guy get so many TV deals? And then you're like, this is how he talks to people. This is exactly what he does. He just plows through
you. He's good. Yeah. He sold TNA to fucking promoters for promotions and everything. Bob's in the back with Killer Kyle. Bob asks him a bunch of questions. He stands there silently and just walks off. Okay.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, sure, probably. I was like, oh, is this guy going to talk? And he did. I'm like, probably for the best.
Yeah. He probably would have Tim Horner'd it.
Keith Hart's in the ring. Not that one. looked way less Keith Hardy. I wonder if, like, Jim.
Yeah, what happened?
I think Jim told him, like, stop looking like Keith Hart. You're not. out comes Killer Kyle. He gets to the ring. They ring the bell before his music stops and before he's taken his like hat and jacket and
he's violent. Like still
he was struggling with those handcuffs.
Handcuffs to the top rope, and it's like
he was struggling there for a minute.
Yeah, he was. You could tell it's like a little bit of panic,
right? Because like the bell's rung, like he's like,
oh shit.
Once again, the story that's been like the match all night. Keith uses his quickness. Kyle just shoves him away, just uses his power. Great moment where like he goes for a dropkick and he just like boom, bats it away.
I did like that.
That was good.
And Keith, he bumped like
a madman, like a boss,
just everywhere.
Yes,
loved it.
Kyle clotheslines him out to the floor. Looked great. Great clothesline out. And then this was the spot of the night. Goes outside. Kyle press slams him into the ring. He goes over the fucking top rope.
It was so crazy. It was one of, like, when I watched it, I actually had to watch it back because it looked like he was on, like, strings.
Yeah.
Because it was so smooth.
It was perfect.
I was like, no way.
It was the most perfect press slam in up over the into the ring I've ever seen in my life.
If you would have told me this episode one when we first got introduced to this guy, I would have said no way, no way.
It was beautiful,
amazing.
And then gets in the ring, does a lift and drops him on his knee. It looked brutal.
Mm,
and stuff. Does the goes for the cover, picks him up at two. I'm like, maybe you should have had that be the finish.
Yeah, just get it over with.
Yeah. Keith makes a little bit of a comeback, does a flying nothing into the bear hug and the spine buster, which is called
the rub out.
My wife was listening to when I was watching this, and she's just like, the rub out? It's like, yep. Really? Just like, yep. And great, Kyle wins. This was Kyle's second best match. The best one? Do you remember it?
I don't.
Jerry Lynn.
Of course, of course.
But no, this match made Kyle look like a monster,
and it made him look like a wrestler. Like, oh, he's competent.
Yeah,
I mean, more
of this, less of him working with guys who can't bump. He needs to work with bumping machines.
Right.
We get a promo from Mr. Wonderful. I'm like, oh, cool. Oh crap, it's the same interview from a few weeks ago.
I know.
Fast forward, we get a recap of the rules for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Why?
We're
10 weeks into the show. We know the rules. Fast forward. Paul Miller is in the ring, and he's taking on the dirty white boy who rolls Mr. Wright out to the ring. That's very nice of him. They once again cut the song off before we get the, he's just the dirty white boy. Come on.
Why, if you're going to play it, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Start the music a little earlier if you got to.
So, we mentioned about Dixie Dynamite, and a few episodes ago, we had another masked individual from the Civil War, the Mighty Yankee. Would you like to meet the Mighty Yankee?
I would love to meet the Mighty Yankee.
It's the Dirty White Boy.
God, Jesus Christ.
So I remember you, I remembered it as I was watching this episode, and I was like, oh, right, Luke wanted to know who the Mighty Yankee was. Well, there you go. It was the Dirty White
Boy. Well, why did he unmask?
What?
Why isn't he under the mask anymore? Or because is that just secondary character?
It was just a one-time, hey, we need a fucking...
You have a built-in feud with the Dixie.
We need a job guy for television. Here, put a mask on. You're a Yankee now.
So the Yankee is the heel.
And the Confederacy
is the face.
Ooh.
Yikes.
Well, it is in Tennessee.
But also, you know who else? I actually learned who else Dirty White Boy is. Do you know who else he is?
Who?
T.L. Hopper.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know that.
Oh.
I just never put that together.
No, hey, I knew that. Yeah, because Jim talked about it all the time on his podcast.
Yeah, just never.
He buries the fuck out of WWF creative for giving the Dirty White Boy the T.L. Hopper gimmick.
I can't even imagine, like, could he not say no?
Maybe
at the time, but yeah, there's not that many spots. There's
always the famous stories that everyone tells about Vince having like the Jedi mind tricks that convince you about like shitty gimmicks that are like, yeah, maybe this will work. And also like, fuck it, get a job. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it was. Especially not as many spots.
It was like 96, 97.
Right? Was it that late?
Or was it 95? I don't
even know.
Whatever, it was really late and like WCW wasn't touching him, I guess. And like,
I guess he's kind of, this is... He's already getting older, isn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Anyway, so to the match. Dirty White Boy controls easily. Paul Miller does the Rikishi bump for a clothesline. Did not look that great.
Paul Miller, the crowd died. They did not care at all about this kid.
This is a basic Southern style match. Dirty White Boy hits his like side slam, but like looked like a choke slam.
Yeah, it was more of a choke slam this time.
Looked a little more vicious. I liked it.
I dug it.
And gets the quick squash win. And then we get Mr. Wright is cutting a promo with the Dirty White Boy at the commentary booth. He's very pissed off and upset that more people haven't been sending me checks.
He's not getting financial support.
I love it. Dirty White Boy just cuts a great shouty promo about how he's going to be the champion and this is great. And Brian Lee comes out. Oh my God, this line.
Unreal.
Brian Lee comes out and he's talking to Dirty White Buddy like, listen, I know that there's someone that can beat me. That man ain't you. It's like, wait, so you just admitted that someone can beat you.
And not only that, the way that he set it up, he says, you say that there's not a man on earth that can beat you, but I know that there's a man on earth that can beat me, and it's not you. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? He says nobody can beat him. You say, somebody can beat me.
But it's not you.
That's not a good burn.
No. This is as bad as like the Sid half the brain that you do.
It's not that bad, but it was borderline. It was borderline. It was bad. It was terrible.
Those two guys are going to have a feud apparently, which is fine. And so after this, we go to commercial and our video ends. Unfortunately, the version that is on YouTube cuts off right there. So we do not get to see the main event of Brian Lee versus Dirty Dutch. So I can give you guys a quick recap. Luke, you want a recap?
I would love a recap because I will say I'm not disappointed. I was not disappointed when this clipped off.
I'm the same way. So Brian Lee, as he's making his entrance, is hit in the back by a chair by the Dirty White Boy. So he sells the entire match, his back, Dutch works him over, very slow apparently. And then Brian gets the win with a quote, crummy looking roll up. The big baby face, has to roll up the Dutchman.
And he still wins, and so he still got his same spot in the tournament. Yep. So what was the point of this?
Nothing. And then Dirty White Boy is fined by Mr. Armstrong. So, that feels like a kind of a lackluster way to end it.
I know.
Should we do some nuts spot for this?
Maybe. We can come up with another idea.
Maybe a trip to the Tokyo Dome real fast? Maybe
a little bonus?
A bonus? A bonus round? Cue the music, so put some music in there somewhere. Because we're going to 1991 Starrcade in the Tokyo Dome. Not actually Starrcade. The New Japan just called it Starrcade. March 21st, 1991. And I'm going to try my best to pronounce these Japanese names. So we have Takayaki.
I will take over
for you. Go right ahead. Luke introduced the participants.
Takayuki Izuka, Kuniaki Kobayashi, and Shiro Koshinake versus Z-Man, Tom Zink, pulling double duty, Brian Pillman, and Tim Horner.
White Lightning.
That's right.
So I could not tell who was who in the Japanese side. I will admit that.
No, I couldn't either.
So.
I mean, like, I could tell them apart.
But because they're drunk. I did not catch when they're announcing the names, like, who
I'm
was
pretty
who.
Sure. So one of them had, like, what looked like Adidas pants on.
One was wearing red trunks, one was wearing red pants, and one was wearing yellow trunks.
Or white trunks. I caught that the guy in the red pants is Kobayashi.
Okay, I think you're right.
But other than that, no, I don't know.
So,
bear with us.
Everyone's in the ring. They just start, shoving back and forth. And there's no engines. We don't see anything. Z-Man with some impressive ups. He can jump.
Dude looks like a million bucks.
A lot of people talk highly about Tom Zink. Tim Horner looked impressive. Gets a hot tag. He runs wild. He looked impressive, too. He was moving a lot faster for Japan.
Oh, yeah, he was moving. Well, and that's the whole pace of this match was crazy.
Right. It was like, get your shit in.
Yeah. And
great spot with the Japanese guys. Like, do like a holds one of them and like the other guy baseball slides him. That was really cool. I like that.
I do not remember this. What happened?
Like, I think it might have been Zink was outside the ring and like one of the Japanese guys held him.
Oh, yeah.
While the other guy ran the rope and then did like a baseball slide into him. Like, it looked pretty good
stuff.
Brian Pippen has some awkward exchanges with some of the New Japan guys. Like, it looked like there were some communication barriers or something like that. I don't know. This looked a little awkward.
Honestly, one thing I noted was that this match felt like they were communicating through pro wrestling. Like, that was kind of, let's get in the ring and we'll just,
like, kind of like, hey, like, if I do this, you know what at this point what I'm supposed to be.
Right. So it was a little clunky in parts. Okay. It did iron itself out a little bit at the end.
Yes, it did. Also, at this point, I noted that Tim Horner was wearing red trunks and Tom Zink and Pillman were wearing orange. Like, Tim, you wear orange in Smoky Mountain. Did you not have Orange in 1991?
What happened to him, man?
Really cool. Tom Zink and Pillman hit a dropkick hard tag. I love that. That was great.
That was awesome. That was so cool. And one thing I want to point out is that Tim Horner, when he got the hot tag, or I guess it was just a tag. Maybe it was a hot tag. The crowd, did you hear the crowd? Oh.
Tim Horner got a little bit of a pop. You know, they do the slingshot splash in for Zink does it in. Almost land on his head.
Yeah, that was close.
Yeah. Pillman does Okada's corner dropkick. Like, lifts the guy up, puts him on the second rope, and then drop kicks him out of the ring. Looked great. And then a nice crossbody to the outside. Twisting splash from Horner. Looked kind of bad.
Oh, the crowd laughed.
They laughed. He got laughed in the Tokyo Dome.
Oh, no. That's got to be way worse than being laughed at anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
Think if you're in America, like, the crowd is hot, it's loud, and then you get laughs. But in Japan, it's, like, quiet, so that's all you hear is laughter.
The Americans are basically just beating the hell out of everyone at this point. I noted, like, it was going on quite a while. I felt like of just them beating the shit out of them.
And it seemed like Kobayashi was doing a lot of the work in this match.
Pillman takes some stiff slaps and kicks to the face. Like, I don't know what he, like, again, that's why I wondered, like was Pillman like pissing someone off, like in that awkward exchange, and like they decided like, I'm going to stiff him one or two.
It's possible. I mean, a lot of it, he was doing some flying around. He did a couple of springboard moves, and they weren't super flush, so maybe he caught somebody. Maybe. I'm sure that it's possible that he just rubbed somebody the wrong way.
Maybe. Dragon suplex to Horner ends it. Horner landed on his head. It looked bad. Like, that had to hurt. But that was the finish. It was a pretty average New Japan opening style match. This is the second match on the card. It was fine. It was, you know, everyone got a little bit of a shine, you know, and that's about it. I can't really say much more about it. It was every New Japan multi-man tag match you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Even exactly. In 91, they was played out.
Very, very similar to anything now, except it did seem like there were some communication issues.
Yep.
Everybody get your shit in, go home.
But it's in the Tokyo Dome, so 3 stars. No.
But it is pretty cool.
Tim Horner.
Yeah,
like the announcer, White Lightning, Tim Horner.
Oh, it's perfect. Yes, it just sounds so much better.
Didn't have the jacket on, and like it's also like they're way better because like they do that long like Tim Horner. Yes.
Give it the gravitas. You know?
Oh, dude, New Japan's announcers are great. Like they make everyone's name sound like stars when they announce them.
I love that. Oh, I love it.
Fantastic. So that's, we'll wrap it up for this episode, this episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Boy, this was an episode.
I mean, even without seeing the main event, just from what you told me, and knowing I didn't want to see the main event, this was a horrible show.
This was a horrible show.
This might be the worst one.
This is pretty bad.
It's bad.
A nothing opening match with Barry Horowitz versus a Dixie Dynamite Geek. Horner getting a decent win against a nobody. Cornette's promo was fantastic. Cornette and then Killer Kyle back to back. Those are the highlights.
Definitely.
And Dirty White Boy beats a nobody. And then we get a main event that we didn't see, but from all words just sounded like as bad as their first match.
I'm so glad that feud. This is the end. It's got to be the end. Because Brian Lee is. He's going
to
be.
Yeah, they're obviously leading up to him being the Dirty White Boy.
So I'm just thankful that is over. Yep. It didn't work at any point. Was it good?
I don't know what that feud was supposed to accomplish, but it failed to accomplish anything.
I mean, I'm sure it was to get this new green guy in there with a veteran, but man, did it not work.
I don't know, but we get to look forward to Dirty White Boy versus Brian Lee. Like that should be entertaining. I mean, I'm excited for that. You know, that could be fun. And we got the tag tournament coming up next week. We got 2 matches, including Jim's team. You finally get to meet Jim's team.
Which, this was another problem I had with the show, is why is there no tag tournament matches on this show? This show means nothing.
Right. There was nothing, like, besides the Brian Lee Dutch match, because that was technically for Brian Lee's spot in the tournament, there was nothing of value or anything up for grabs. It was just a show with matches.
Right. Just put another tag. Like, make the tournament every week. Why are we breaking it up?
No, I was kind of concerned. Like, when I got to the main event, it's like, wait, where's the tag title tournament match? Like, why are you putting 2 on the same night?
Very strange.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a bad episode. This is a very bad episode.
And really, it just felt like the main thing of the episode is like drive home, volunteer slam, volunteer slam, volunteer right. slam. I don't know. You said it's like 4 weeks from now?
About a month away still.
So they're driving that home, but man, this did not sell me on anything.
No, it did not. It did not. I don't remember if the tag title tournament ends there too. I would hope so. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be awesome.
But I think it's just the singles tournament. But yeah. So that'll wrap it up for this episode. Hopefully next week we got something more entertaining to talk about, because boy, this episode was a wet fart.
It really was. Just a sopper. But jobbers, and then introducing a guy that should be a jobber, it didn't do anything for me.
It did nothing. So
hopefully next week.
Hopefully, you know. Again, Cornette's boys will be there. Like I'm expecting that to be something.
And I've enjoyed the tag tournament so far, I'm excited.
You've enjoyed it more than me. I hate the Mahler match.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, all right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and tune in next week and find out what happens and who advances in the tag team tournament. For Alex Khalil, it's your good pal Lukey signing off on another episode of On Top of Old Smokey. And remember, it's never a bad time to shut up.